go Cecil Shorts. He's going. He's in the 20, the 15, 10, 5, and he's racing. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jacksonville. 80 yards.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars. The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside Jaguars Central for the Mike Mularkey Show. A quick broadcast note for you. If you're a fan of Cecil Shorts, and there are a lot of those around here today, you can join Jeff Lagerman at 7 o'clock on CBS 47 for Jaguars All Access, and you will see the man who scored the game-winning touchdown yesterday. Cecil joins Jeff for Jaguars All Access starting at 7. Coach, congratulations on win number one.
Yeah, thanks. I was very proud of our team and very happy for them. They've really worked hard for 3 weeks to get a victory, and I'm glad we got one on the road, especially in that environment.
You know, from the very first moments of our pregame yesterday all the way through the postgame, Jeff Lagerman kept using the word validation, validation, validation. And it seemed like it fit. Do you agree that yesterday was a validating moment for a lot of those guys?
Yeah, I do. I really do. The two losses were in different fashions. One's, and both obviously emotional letdowns the way they happened. One being close, and then the one just absolutely wasn't even a game that we were in. And there's a lot of reasons there to go into a game flat because of those things, and then to get down 14-3, and not lose sight of just keep playing. We got 30 minutes. We need a couple things to fall our way, and those guys, I'm very proud of them coming out, and we outscored them 19-3 in the second half, and that's a big credit to the players in that locker room.
You bet. And running the ball when they knew it was coming, with the passing game struggling, they knew that Maurice was going to get it. And take us through that 59-yard touchdown run early in the third quarter that really got it going.
Well, that's one of our bread and butter plays. It's a power play. It was blocked extremely well by our O-line and tight ends, and obviously Greg Jones is the lead back, and I think he's the best in the league. He's the best I've been around, and I've been around some really good ones, including Ovi Mahaley. I think Greg is just outstanding, but blocked well, and then really important to get a block at the second level was Justin Blackman, who made a big game, broke a touchdown run because of his effort. So that goes a long way. That will show him, hey, if I do this, this is the result.
And 28 carries for Maurice, and he didn't look any the worse for the wear, only been around here for 3 weeks. And I thought what was really important was to see him get through the line and turn that speed on that he himself said last year he didn't quite have.
Yeah, it was really good. And every series when I got over there, I'd say to him, you got some juice left? He goes, oh, yeah. I think he's a guy that's similar to a lot of the great backs. Just the more you give him the ball, the better he gets. And that was big. That was a big run for us because we just got done at halftime saying, look, defense, they're going to get the ball. We really need a stop, and we really need to put points on this first drive. And, that it was bang, bang. Both of those things happened, and all of a sudden you could see the momentum change.
You bet. It changed in a big way. So, and then, obviously, you grab the lead. You're up 16-14. So let's get to crunch time. 16-14, a minute 56 left to play. And you take the ball first and 10. You ended up running it on third down and 9, and I want to get to that. But first and second down, what were you thinking at that point, Coach? What was your objective? Was it to get the timeout burned then?
Well, we were trying to get them to burn timeouts, get all their timeouts off. And I knew if we ran the ball, that's what we would do. We would burn them, and that's what we did. If you saw later in the game, we did the same thing on their three runs when we had to try to get the ball back. But, we ran the same play. We ran to score the touchdown on just out of a different set, and they did a good job of stuffing it. And we felt like we were running the ball pretty successfully all day and thought if we can get a first down running the ball, I was just that confident, I think we all were, that we could run the ball and get first downs with our offense at that point. And, they just did a good job of stuffing us at the point of attack.
Was getting them to burn times out there at the late part of the game more important than the first down, would you suppose?
But both, you'd like both to happen.
Okay.
I mean, that's the objective. First downs and, deplete them of their timeouts.
And it brings me to an issue that I think is a lost art, and that's time management in the game. And at the end of the ball game in Minnesota, with 2 minutes left to play and fourth down, and giving it back to an offense that was running it well. Not a lot of people thought, you know, well, that's what you do. Most people thought, well, you go for it. But you punted, and it played out just like you drew it up, just like you wanted it to. You got a chance to win the ball game, got a touchdown. Same thing here. You had the idea to burn the timeout. Do you work from a coordinated sheet of circumstances and situations, or is that just innate football for a man who's been around it as long as you have? Take us through how you make a decision like that.
Well, we talk about situations all the time, and a number of them happened yesterday, and we went through them again this morning as they unfolded, and there was more than those two. And we talk about, was it the right, what could we have done differently? And a lot of it is the flow of the game. You know, it's Brian Anger has some play in it, you know.
He's booming it, yeah.
Yeah, because he's booming it, and that was the case even in Minnesota. Some of it is playing percentages. You know, there's a chart that says based on the distance needed on third or fourth down, like in Minnesota, your odds of making that play are 25% or less. And so you got to think about that too. Defenses are constantly trying to get you into third and 9, 10, 11, 12 or more, because the likelihood of you converting those is very low, 25% or less.
You bet.
Or less. And so, I thought the timeout was, I thought we could split it. It's basically the same play out of a one-back set that we ran with Maurice, and we just didn't execute it very well. Same play we scored the 59-yard touchdown on. And I wasn't trying to get a no-yard gain, obviously,
right.
But we were trying to split the defense and hopefully get some, if not a first down, get enough yards to burn a few more seconds, but definitely to get them to burn the timeout.
Okay, so now you get the ball back with 56 seconds left, and you've got a passing offense that just has misfired for whatever reason. Only three completions, only 27 yards, and the first play, you've obviously got to go down the field. Can you take us through that play and what Blaine saw and then how Cecil executed it?
Well, we were in our two-minute segment, obviously. No timeouts left. We had to burn them when they were driving the ball, and it's called attack. Our 2 minutes called attack, because we feel like if we're in this situation at the end of a game, we're behind. We are not going to, you know,
hold anything back.
We're not holding. We're leaving the fort. We are charging with everything we got to put them on their heels. And our guys have done an outstanding job in practices and in games. Obviously, you've seen we won some games in the last minutes because of the way they've approached it with this attack mentality. But our 2 minute scheme is very well executed, and it was yesterday. You know, you don't plan on scoring on the first play of it, but that play was the same play we ran in Minnesota that Cecil got the drive going before that led to his touchdown. So, you know, it's a precise throw. Protection is important because now you don't have any edges to,
right,
you know,
no margin
chip,
at all.
No margin of error. You got to have good protection. You got to throw it on time, and the receiver's got to be there in the right spot. And you see what happens if you hit something like that on the run, especially with the speed that Cecil has, good things can happen. So a lot of great things had to happen for that play to be successful.
And it did. And in the end.
And Bob Rutkowski had to call it. And Bob called it, and he said, hey, I think we're going to get this coverage. If we get this coverage, we got a chance to split it. And Blaine really had it's a read one side or the other. And Blaine read it out correct. It would not have worked going the other side, even though it looked similar. It was not the same coverage on the other side.
And it led to the win, 22-17. And that in this league, it doesn't matter if it's not real pretty for 59 minutes and 4 seconds. One play, you go 80 yards and score. Congratulations, you take that win.
Thank you. It's hard to win in this league, and
we'll
take them. But, it's to do what we did in the second half, you know, maybe it wasn't as pretty, but to score 19 points on the road in this division, after starting the way we have.
Who cares?
Who cares? A lot of credit to our players.
You bet. Take the win. All right, we've got more to come with head coach Mike Mularkey, and we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. You can join us, as always, via Twitter. It's the easiest way, @JagsVoice, and we've got some questions. We'll go with the coach. I've been asked a lot today. A couple different questions. Here's one. In New York a few years ago, Maurice Jones-Drew was running at a touchdown. Jets were going to let him go. He took a knee, burned clock, kicked the field goal. Jags win. And so the question naturally came up today. Well, should Cecil have taken a knee at the 3-4-5-yard line and allowed you to burn a couple of plays and then kick the field goal with no time remaining, since the Colts didn't have any time left either?
That's an option. I'd probably say no now, knowing the outcome.
Sure.
Thinking that we could do a better job of stopping these guys – better kickoff, better job stopping them.
You're not going to get a receiver to stop running.
I mean, I did. I guarantee you that was the last thing on his mind.
Bet.
I mean, I there's no way he was going to do that. And again, now you're playing. You have other snaps, and you have there's things that can go wrong with a field goal. I mean, let's get the points, and then depend. You just have to trust every unit's going to do their part. And that was a big thing in this game. We talked about trust, talked about everybody doing their job, and talked about everybody trusting that the guy next to him was too. And we really were talking about all three phases, pulling for each other, working for each other. And so that's an option. I'm glad it worked out the way it did.
When you look, Coach, at the tape, and I know you've burned through it a couple of times already, how far is the passing game away from being as cohesive and as productive as it was in the preseason? Is it a long way, or is it a play here, a block there, a tip ball here?
Oh, it's not far away. We need to be more consistent. You've seen some throws that Blaine has made and some plays that our receivers have made, but very inconsistent. And, we got to do a better job protecting. I think as you see, if Blaine has some time, he has a chance to be very pinpoint on target, hit guys on the run. And, our receivers are working, again, more and more to get uncovered faster. And I think it's just a process. Again, that's our third game as an offense.
Right.
And, again, truly as an offense in the NFL with this team. And it's coming along. But just, it's going to take a little time.
Another question all over Twitter is, if the attack mode works so well at the end of the ball game, how come that's not the standard operating procedure? How come that's not your mindset from the first quarter?
Well, it's the problem is it opens up edges on the outside. There's no protection. I mean, we got five guys, but you've got to protect.
Right.
And that was a one-play series. We hit a big one. But the longer you're in it, somebody is going to get
98.
Mathis, who was outstanding. I mean, I was even more impressed again after playing him yesterday. But there's a guy that can change the game by himself. I mean, I can tell you that. Sack, fumble. This guy is very capable of doing that. And the more exposure, it's going to happen the longer you're in that kind of set.
When you get Eben and Cam Bradfield back and finally have your offensive line together, which it has not happened this year, amazingly, but when you do get them back, will you have more opportunities to be more in attack mode, or is that not your mindset? Do you believe more in that consistent fundamental approach?
No, that's in our arsenal. The attack is really a 2-minute segment. I mean, that's where you got four wide receivers split out. We like to keep it balanced. We like balance in the run game. There's limited runs with four wide receivers on the field.
Right.
I mean, Maurice is going to be limited to what he can do. You're talking about one of your best weapons not having a lot of options of running the ball. So it's always there every week. We have different ways to attack people. People will see that. But we definitely have to play more consistently offensively.
And as you mentioned, that's three games together as an offense and really not even together since the offensive line.
No, I haven't been through this before, but the three linemen going out in the Minnesota game yesterday, Greg Jones on the opening kickoff.
Right.
Our first drive is going to be built around him and Maurice, and now Montel has to come in. I love Montel Owens to death. He's a great football player, but he's not a lead fullback. He can be for a few plays, but you don't want to make a living with him back there.
Not like Greg.
Right. Laurent Robinson goes out the first drive. I mean, now you got – and people don't – I'm sure they understand this, but when guys start going down, other guys have to take their spots. Well, those guys that are taking the spots are special teams players. They're starters on the special teams, and it's hard – it's a trickle-down effect, and there's a lot of areas affected when people get injured. And I think our coaches have done a great job and our players have done a great job adjusting and filling in roles. Chris Brzezinski yesterday to step in for Montel and do some things he hasn't done in a game. We're all kind of fitting. And
you keep thinking, when you get your guys healthy, what you can do. In fact, Jeff got the scratches yesterday, the guys who are going to be inactive. It's like, well, there's one guy that was a healthy and active. That's a start, I guess, to be able to make one decision on guys aren't all based on injuries.
Right. I mean, I'd like to get to the point where we have to make some serious decisions of who to keep up and who to, because everybody's healthy. But it's been easy these first 3 weeks with, even last week, seven injured guys. I mean, they could not play. So, it is what it is. And I love the way our guys are responding and doing the best they can. And we're trying to help them as well. Does that let us show all we're capable of offensively?
Not yet.
Probably not. No, I can say no.
But not yet. And when you get some of these guys back healthy, and I think there's a chance you might get some of these guys on the practice field at least this week, right?
We're going to try it. We're going to definitely get them out there and try it and see if we can. Because, you know, the one thing I was going to do to show these guys was Saturday night before the game. Same guys sitting in that room. I was going to put the Giants against the Super Bowl defense, the Saints defense, you know, the teams that we went out on the first drive and scored touchdowns on. The same guys are sitting in that room. Some of them not playing. That's the problem.
True. Yeah, that's true. Very true.
But we know we're capable of doing some things. It's on tape. There's proof of it. We just got to get healthy and play more consistent.
You bet. All right, more with the head coach of the Jaguars. 1-2 following a 22-17 win yesterday. Big one in Indianapolis. We'll come back with more right after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back. You know, this Sunday during the Jaguars-Bengals game, Fred Taylor is inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars. Don't miss this historic event. It's brought to you by Florida Blue in pursuit of health. Brian Sexton with the head coach of the Jaguars here on the Mike Mularkey Show. A couple of questions, Coach. How about a thought on Julian Stanford, who seemed to play a lot yesterday from an interested party?
Yeah, he actually played more defense yesterday. We had a personnel grouping that he literally was a substitute to go in there and got some good quality snaps and played pretty well. I mean, for his first action.
Big athletic guy.
He's big. He brings a little thump to him when he blitzes. And he's been playing special teams, and he's been playing special teams really well. We're just trying to get more time for him with the defense, and yesterday was a good start.
Number of questions about Derek Cox and his impact on the field when he was out there. I didn't want to ask you about the penalties, but because that one just didn't, I couldn't understand that one. But Derek Cox on the field, and what did he give you, and how much better were your secondary, or was your secondary, when he was on the field?
It was good to have him back. Actually, he and Rasheen started the game, which was the first time this year that they the two of them have started. It was good to have him back. I mean, you could tell that there was some good coverage. We did have an interception that was, I thought, a good interception. Great play by Rasheen, and Derek made some good plays. It was good to have him back. You know, he got a little fatigued there going into the second half. Probably played a little more than we had anticipated.
Sure.
But the reps that he got were very quality reps.
And any hamstring issues whatsoever? I mean, is he looking like he can keep progressing and keep playing for you?
No, we're moving forward. We think he'll be right back on Wednesday, full speed.
Six weeks sitting on the sidelines, I guess fatigue is probably, you know, the order of the day.
Right. Right.
But just how about communication issues back there? Because he hadn't spent much time. He's been out since August the 10th. And, you know, you've got Aaron Ross, you got Rasheen, you got the two safeties working together.
No, it was pretty good. I mean, yeah. Those two safeties, they're really good. And there's a lot. And Puz, you know, Puz starts it off. He's great with getting the call to these guys. That's one thing we have not had a problem with. It's probably the least amount of mental errors we had in a game, and that's with two guys that hadn't played a lot. And so that was good to see.
How about pressure on the quarterback? I know you were asked that a lot today. It looked like Branch had luck on that one play on third down and long. Luck is an amazing runner.
Yeah, he's very good. You know, we had him. We thought we had him. Branch certainly thought he had him. We had 12 hits on him. I mean, that's the down guys and our blitz package with even Russell Allen, who probably blitzed as well as he has. That I've seen him on tape. Got some hits on him. But the guy's dangerous. If you give him a crease, if you're not where you're supposed to be, he's going to expose you, and we got exposed yesterday. There was a couple third and tens yesterday that he got first downs on. He's a threat, not a Vic type, but a threat to, you know, get first downs.
Yeah, he had a couple. In fact, he ran for three, right?
Yes.
And two of them were at 10 yards or greater, which is that distance that you said defenses believe they're going to get you off the field 75-80%
right.
of the time.
Well, that played a little bit into that penalty where it was fourth and 10. I'd already seen him scramble for 10 twice on third down, and that's just one more weapon of had to be concerned about. So that's why I pushed him back to third and 20, because I thought this guy, you know, I've seen it already. I've seen it in front of my eyes. But he's going to be a good player.
How about the run defense overall? We know what Arian Foster and Ben Tate did 2 weeks ago, but this week, you know, 124, 50 of it was luck scrambling, so real solid job.
Much improved, 2.9 yards per carry, which is
that's excellent.
That's excellent. That's what we're. Those are the standards this defense has set, and I thought much better. A lot of tackling was better. A lot of things were much better this week as far as our defense. We just got to contain the quarterback better.
And I saw D'Anthony Smith in there a little bit, and you know, if Austin Lane can get back healthy, all of a sudden now you've got a rotation up. But that would mean a lot for that group, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, it'd be nice to have Austin back. He's again one of our better run defenders on the edge, and he's going to work. He's going to come back and start working this week. So we may have some decisions to make in regards to who's going to be up.
Well, and what people may not consider is what having Austin Lane does for a guy like Jeremy Mincy.
Right. I mean, Jeremy's playing a lot of snaps, and this guy goes 100 miles an hour every snap. And at some point, we're out on the field too much defensively right now with the number of snaps, 75 snaps yesterday, 80-plus last week. That's just too many snaps. We got to do a better job complementing each other offensively and defensively. But to have a guy in the rotation now and give Mintz some downtime, it'll just make him a better rusher when he's in there.
Final thought before we take a break. I think you said at your news conference today, iffy on Darryl, and Darryl's return still not clear.
Yeah, he's definitely on the path of recovery.
Good.
Just we're gonna be smart about it. We like to get him back sooner than later.
Too good of a player though.
Good of a player to risk of injury, you know, making it worse is always there. And so we're gonna be smart about it. And probably won't be back this week.
All right, we've got much more to talk about with the head coach. You can certainly join us. We've got some Twitter questions. The phone number 355-NFL1. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, and you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, when you're looking for department store style and discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. There are 6 locations in Jacksonville. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. More with the head coach now. A question from Twitter. As someone who was not here when Fred Taylor was, Steve would like to hear your thoughts on the kind of back that Fred Taylor was.
Great. I mean, great back. Big back with speed, hard to tackle, power back that complemented this offense very well. You go back, Coughlin's offense, this is basically a branch of the Coughlin offense that we're running. Same terminology, and it's interesting that it's kind of made a cycle back.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, just compliment the offense, runs the play, we're running the power, the boss play, and, the bob, all those things that you got a nice fullback, and you get through the line, now you got big fullback, and then you got a big back coming, and Fred was hard to tackle.
Yeah, and when he got up ahead of speed now, I mean, he was so fast, he was gone, and that was a great thing to see yesterday from Maurice, see him just kick it into second gear. You know, Fred is gone, absolutely, but Maurice delivers the big play.
Yeah, he did. He really, that was big, and I'm really excited for Fred this Sunday that we're all going to be a part of this, well-deserved, and, being a Gator, I know he's had a great career there. And
you bet.
So, all good. All good things for him.
So, folks, hopefully show up in mass Sunday. It's an afternoon kickoff, which should make it a nice environment. Bengals are in. Let's talk a little bit about Cincinnati. Have you had much chance to see them on tape yet?
I just started. I'm watching defense now. I haven't got to the other phases. But
you know Marvin Lewis pretty well.
I know Marvin pretty well. Faced him a number of times when I was in really everywhere I've been. I've faced him. We had him in 2010 with Atlanta.
And he on the Pittsburgh staff at the same time, or was he gone by
missed.
The time?
He went to Baltimore. As I was coming in, he was heading to Baltimore.
Okay.
But I know Marvin well, and they've put a really nice team together. They're scoring a lot of points. They've got an explosive offense. I know their defense has struggled a little bit against the run, but I know they're pretty stout up front, and it'll be a good challenge.
Yeah, they got a big win yesterday on the road in Washington. They're 2-1. They're coming off a playoff year. And so obviously this is a team that's got a little bit of momentum going. And they're coming down here now, and so you've got a little bit of momentum going.
Right.
I mean, it's good to go into a game against a team like Cincinnati with a win as opposed to the other way around.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Our guys have some confidence now with them with getting that win. Even with the game we played, it's still that second half was important for us to get a little momentum to come home and play a good team that's
right.
coming in here.
And to hold that offense up there with Luck, who was having a pretty decent day, to 3 points in the second half. I mean, even if they're forget the yards, the most important defensive stat ultimately is points.
Points, right. I mean, they scored 17 points. That's you're going to win some games if you can hold teams to that number. So and especially 3 points in the second half. I thought yesterday, talk about it again, but I thought the number of hits that we put on Luck made a difference in some of his throws because he is a very accurate passer, and you could see that he made some errant throws eventually just – he took some hits. So
Sacks are one thing, but getting a quarterback to move his feet, Coach, is something you've talked about.
Yeah, you got to break up the rhythm somehow, the passing game rhythm. If you can, make a move, even if it's slightly in the pocket, just make a move. It is a difference. And, you know, he's good enough to make some accurate throws doing that, but he was, after he got hit a few times, that wasn't happening.
I know you haven't really gotten heavy into the offensive tape, but thoughts on Andy Dalton, who's another young quarterback?
Had a pretty good year last year, and he's got some weapons.
A.J. Green is tremendous.
A.J. Green, big deep ball threat, just a really threat anywhere on the field, and he had a great year last year. And, you know, good tight end in Gresham. And they always try to get a run game going, and they're pretty good with it. They got a pretty stout offensive line.
Yeah, they've got the guy, I think they nicknamed him the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. And he didn't have a big day yesterday, but then that's because they were throwing the ball. And I think he got nicked in the game, but came back and finished with 189, 190 yards, which is a big number for a receiver and a touchdown. And the thing about him, Coach, is he's not just 6'4", which is a big receiver, but the guy jumps out of the gym.
Yeah, he's got leaping ability that's amazing. Yeah, he's tough to cover. You talk about a red zone target. Get down there and just put the ball in range for him. He's special.
If you're a defensive back, how do you cover a guy? Because, boy, I mean, if he can jump,
try to keep him on the line of scrimmage, and then hopefully you've got help somewhere in the coverage. Based on the coverage, you've got help over the top with him.
All right. We've got more to come with the head coach of the Jaguars. About 20 more minutes left in our program. If you'd like to join us via Twitter, at Jags Voice, the phone number, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And we're back with more after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets. The slow, smoked, pulled, and sliced meats baskets, only $7.99. Or for a little more, there are two other mouthwatering baskets. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue in Florida. Brian Sexton with the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Coach, here's one from John. He wants to know what goes into evaluating a player who is injured, and more specifically, a player like Greg Jones who had a concussion and was deemed to be able to come back into the game.
Right, there's a number of tests that go on. We brought him into the locker room, and there's a number of physical tests, and I can't tell you exactly what they are. Some of them just walking straight line, you know, almost touching your nose with your finger.
Almost like police do with almost, people they assume are under the influence.
Yeah, I mean, and there's more than that.
Sure.
Memory tests. There's a number of things that go on, and then basically it's up to the player to say, I don't have a headache. I feel fine. And that was Greg, and he came back, he showed he was fine, he came back and helped us on special teams. I mean, it was just amazing that he took a pretty good hit, but he passed all the concussion tests, and again this morning was fine. And
good. Is it standard operating procedure to take his helmet away, or is that just Greg Jones?
Because that's probably Greg. Yeah, I guess Greg. Yeah, but you know, if Greg's going to miss a play, then you got to better double check Greg, because he doesn't want to come off the field.
No, not
you talk
often.
About it. Just an unbelievable football player and a guy that can knock you out at any time.
Feel free not to answer this question if it gets you in trouble with the officials. But Greg Jones was called for a holding penalty, and I didn't see him even make contact with the guy. He kind of missed the guy.
And you said I don't have to answer the question.
You don't have to answer the question. That's it. Now, that's sometimes your silence speaks volumes on that. But it was good to get Greg Jones back out there. And the other question that was thrown in with, you know, relative to injuries is, do you have a plan to change things up when guys do get injured? I mean, you plan for everything. So what he wants to know is, do you have a standard plan? You know, Montel goes in, and all of a sudden Chris Brzezinski steps up. Does everybody know their role in the case of injuries?
Yes, they do. And that's the positive. Everybody kind of has an idea of, if this happens, this is what we're going to do. Problem is, you have so many limited reps in practice, you can't get enough for everybody to see a true picture of it. So a lot of guys just have to study, watch the guy in front of them. Like Chris Brzezinski, you only get so many snaps. Montel's our personal protector who makes all the calls. Chris stands back there, or he'll get a snap or two, but he won't see all the looks of a punt rush like Montel will.
Right.
And to step in there and you know, do what he did, and then make a tackle inside the 20. I mean, he just did a lot of things that you know, he wasn't planning on doing. I'll give you an example. Kevin Elliott, when Laurent went down, Kevin Elliott really has not played a lot of ball for us on offense. Right. He had 40 snaps yesterday, made a big catch, had an interference.
22 yards, you bet.
Had an interference on him, did some good things in the run game. And then he's one of our core, one of our better special teams guys, and he played 20-some snaps of special teams. So here's a guy that really wasn't anticipating to do that and came out and played pretty well.
You know, and I was talking with John Bonamago yesterday, and people don't realize, you've got two undrafted rookies out there playing as your gunners
right.
on coverage teams. And I said to John, I said, does that, you know, give you sleepless nights? And he said, no, they're playing really well.
They are really. I mean, they are threats. They are doing a great. We have a number of undrafted rookies. I mean, you talk about Brewster starting yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Elliott out there playing.
And Antoine Blake having to be a factor in that as well. And Julian Stanford
was
on the field.
Mike Harris had to be out on the field when
and he made a tackle on special teams.
Right. I mean, Rutland went down. You know, at one point, we had already taken Aaron Ross came out with an injury, and we'd already been out without Derek Cox. So here comes Mike Harris in a position he hadn't practiced, and he makes a play. And, I mean, we got some guys, some rookies that are stepping up and making plays.
How do you overcome the lack of practice time? I mean, I shouldn't say lack of practice time, but you're more regulated than coaches have been in the past in this league in terms of specific time frames that you can be on the field. You mentioned players have to study more film and do some more things on their own. I mean, do you make up for it in the classroom? Can you do that?
Well, you can show film, you can talk about things, but players really have to do their homework, and when they leave the building, they got to study. I mean, they really have to.
Yeah.
And they all have laptops and
iPads
and all that has game film on it, cut-ups of it, practice cut-ups, and really they need to do some work on their own.
Has that become a new phenomenon with the new CBA, or did you do that when you were playing? Not with an iPad, obviously. But.
Not with an iPad, no. No, that's always been the case, because you can't show them everything that's possibly going to happen. They have to go, if, you know, we're going to give you the most likely things that are going to happen, but
right.
there's a lot more factors that can happen, and they got to just be prepared for them mentally. So when it does happen, it's like they've already practiced it in their mind.
We need a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about Brian Anger, who for the second straight game averaged over 52 yards. Gross. On more than five punts. It, amazing.
Yeah, staggering. I mean, yeah. It's an unbelievable stat.
For a rookie. So we'll talk about that when the Mike Mularkey Show continues. And, of course, you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. If you want to see the Jaguars at the best price possible, the Coin Toss ticket promotion offers fans the ability to purchase up to four tickets, maybe single, maybe odd assortments, but they're only $20. There's no guarantee of location or whether the tickets will be singles, paired, or even near each other. All a toss of the coin. For more information on Coin Toss tickets, call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000. Okay, on to Brian Anger, the rookie punter. Obviously, when you take a punter in the third round, you really like the guy. And this guy has a huge leg. Did you think he would give you as much as he has, Coach, as quickly as he has?
We hoped we did, because we really liked him, and we really like him even more now.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's been very consistent, and the thing is, he's been in a couple positions that, like yesterday, we had to have a field position change there to make them go the length of the field to beat us, and he came through, and our cover guys, our gunners are doing a good job. Because when you punt it that far, you got a lot of field to cover, and it's just amazing the numbers that are showing up that he's done with the net.
Yeah, it was over 52 on nine punts, which is just, I mean, it's mind-boggling. And then I think he was five or six punts yesterday, and over 53 in gross.
Right.
And the net was over 45.
Right.
And that was with a 14-yard punt return in there.
That's correct. Yeah, he's holding down his end. He's a lot like Luck. He just doesn't look like a rookie.
Right.
I mean, he's just playing very well.
The leg is rare, though. I mean, that's rare leg strength, I would imagine.
Rare. And, you know, you like guys in those kind of positions that don't have this psyche. He just gives the ball. Yeah, just, hey, I'll do it every single time. And, you know, he's going to have one.
Right.
That's, everybody's going to go, oh, not this, not now.
Right.
But there's so many more that are really good and really good for our team and changing field.
How long, and again, we're talking three games, how long will it take he and Kevin Elliott and Antoine Blake to develop a rhythm where they can down those punts inside the 20, which I know is something that you seek?
Just experience. More times they see it. And, you know, it's kind of funny this morning, because he punted one really now we're talking about downing them inside the 20 when we're punting them from our own 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really.
It was a 62 or 63
yard
punt.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to be able to do that no matter where we are on the field because he has the ability to put it down there inside the 20. But the more chances they get, and we do practice it a lot. John Bonamigo does a great job of getting those guys ready. But it's just being rookies and, you know, that's not what they did in college.
Right.
But just more experience, the better.
Well, I've seen a couple of times where it was close.
Yes.
So, I mean, you can see it kind of coming, but I think everybody who's listening has probably seen someone get down there and catch it.
Yes.
Underneath, you know, right at the goal
line.
And they'll
see that from these guys. These guys are two special gunners. People don't really what's a gunner? They're the outside guys. They're double teamed. In most cases, they get forced out of bounds. They run into people out of bounds. I mean, they're just
you're a ping pong.
It is. You're just getting the tar beat out of you by two guys, and you're expected to be the first guy down there. And you watched yesterday; even Kevin Rutland was down there on two of the punts. And we just needed somebody to go take a dive at. You know, you just run through and make a tackle right when he's catching. So we got to do that better too.
Kevin Elliott is a big, strong guy, and I will say this: you know, on the one play that he was as a receiver where he was held, that set up first and goal at the 9, I thought he had a chance to get it.
It was much closer than I ever thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and we had to break down the protection. Yeah. Unfortunately, down there in their scoring territory again, we had a free runner right up the middle, and for Blaine just to give him a chance, I thought was great.
Right.
Because we, you know, the what ifs, if we block it up, we had a chance to, with Blackman on a double move for a touchdown, and we just, you know, we didn't block it up very well.
3 weeks in, the process continues.
That's right. That's right.
It's much easier to do it on Monday with a win.
Right.
Much easier.
Well, that's a learning experience. You watch the tape, that's how we're going to get better. We have to just take everything that's happening to us. Each play is something that's hopefully next time something happens is going to improve.
Final break. We'll come back and wrap up the show with the head coach of the Jaguars. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show every Monday night at 6 Eastern here on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Again, we are here every single Monday night at 6 o'clock Eastern with the head coach. Look back at yesterday's game. Look forward to Cincinnati coming in here. Again, Coach, we just touched on them a little bit. Offense, defense, the running game. The tight end, Jermaine Gresham, is a big-time talent, a big-time threat.
Yes.
And so when you get a guy like that, especially in the red zone, it would seem like your safeties are going to have a busy day.
Yeah, he's a matchup problem. You know, you're talking about trying to get guys to help out with A.J. Green. Well, when you do that, there may be some situations. Now, here's a tight end that's got some one-on-one coverage with him, and we got to disrupt him out the line. We got to do something so he's not off and running.
That's really what you said earlier about Green, too. Really, is it the line of scrimmage where you get a chance to control these guys or you don't?
Anything you can disrupt, releases, throw off the timing of the passing game, throw off anything in the rhythm is very important. And so it may not be right at the line. It may even be at the second level. Our linebackers, you know, Puz, step up and just knock them one way or the other just to give our rush a little bit more time to get to Dalton.
To get there. And get is there. Dalton a guy that's not as mobile?
But he doesn't get flustered. He's another one of these guys that came in and the NFL wasn't too big for him. And, you know, he's really executed pretty darn well since he got here.
Fairly calm and stands back in the pocket and is certainly going to challenge you. So
yes, and has some success. I mean, took the team to the playoffs, and you know, he's got some weapons to deal with. So I think they really scheme it well for him over there.
Your team has been remarkably even-keeled, you know, through the losses. And how do you expect them to be when they take the field on Wednesday after a win?
Well, just like we talked about, they have a 24-hour rule today. Enjoy it because they need something to enjoy, and it was a nice. The locker room was great afterwards, and the ride home was good. And but now it's time to move on. Just like losses, we got to get over the win and get ready for the Bengals. It's a good football team coming in here.
And is this a team that you think handles success
failure
the same way?
I think so. Based on what's happened in the last couple weeks, I do.
Good. Have a great week of practice, Coach. Best of luck against the Bengals on Sunday.
Okay, thanks.
That's head coach Mike Mularkey. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next Monday night.